This is the world broadcast of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waris Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم الصراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
That's not religion. Religion doesn't say, people need this, people need that. The religion first says, what is reality? Who is over it? What is his purpose? And for what are you existing? And how are you to live to please that one that's over all of it? Now, that ain't no black nationalist movement. That ain't no American movement. That ain't no Western movement. That's the truth. Yeah, you see? So in the prophet's dream, he says he came upon these two companions, led him upon a place that had growth, plant growth, of rich, deep green. And he said that they led him on, and he saw there the evidence that it was a paradise. And over it was a cloud. The cloud was pure white. And there was a mansion there in the cloud. And he was told by the two companions, say, that's your home in paradise. He said, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, let me enter. They said, not yet a while. Wasn't for him to enter then. Said, not yet a while. Said, but it's yours. Meaning that he had to live his life out, complete his work among us, and then he would return to that paradise. Yeah. What is the paradise? What is the paradise? He was a protester. Prophet Muhammad was a protester. He protested the wrongs in the world. He protested the evils in the world. But he was not a Jacobite protester. He was not a nationalistic protester. He was not the protester of the kind that we know in human history. He was the kind of protester you hardly ever see or recognize. One coming purely from what is right. Not whether what his race was had nothing to do with it. What his nation was had nothing to do with it. It came purely from moral sincerity. Purely from moral sincerity. Therefore, his cloud was white. A cloud is what? A protest.
Isn't a cloud a protest? Some protests are silent, right? But even a silent protest, if it starts getting thick, it's going to make some noise. And when it gets real thick, it might even lightning and thunder. Right? Yes. Lightning and thunder comes in the clouds. So a cloud is symbolic of many things in our emotional makeup, symbolic of the emotional makeup. But it also means protest. Cloud is protest. How do we know? Allah says in the Quran that clouds are driven like slaves. Like slaves. Slaves are servants. Protesters are serving something. That's why they're protesting. Right? Yes. And he says that, and they give warning of what? A good thing or a bad thing. A protest either gives us a warning of something good, right? Or it brings bad. Some people protest, and what is the motive? A bad motive. So behind that cloud comes what? Trouble. And then some people protest, it's for the sake of goodness. And behind comes goodness, good results. The benefit of what we, for the serving what we needed. Like the rain comes and serves the needs of the farmer. Bring fresh water to the people who don't have fresh water. Right? A lot of time it wash and even clean the atmosphere. The air smells better after the rain. Yeah. Protest. Moral protest. Moral protest. But everybody don't have the same moral protest. Some people have corrupt moral protest. They attack the morals of another person, their morals are bad. They let their hot head blind them to what's right. And they come and they say, well, we are moralists. But when you really examine what they're doing is morally corrupt. All right. So, Prophet Muhammad is told in a dream that he had a place in paradise. And it was in the cloud, a white cloud. White cloud. White cloud. White cloud means pure. Pure emotions. Pure emotions. Clouds are stirred up by agitation in the atmosphere. Conflict in the environment. That's what brings about clouds. And they thicken up and the pressure gets too much. And then you have sometimes violent storms. Great destruction comes. Right? Yes. It is just like a war going on in the heavens. Flashes from the gunfire. And the loud clap, the peal of thunder. Like the cannon went off in the heavens. Right? Yeah, it's like war. Like war going on upstairs. Yes. And then sometimes it comes so nice and peaceful. Hardly, no noise at all. And a nice, sweet shower. So I know my cabbage's going to grow now. And then have to have no problem with it. Sometimes the rain comes, the cabbage got water, but it knocked down the hen house. Wind knocked down the hen house. It did a whole lot of other things, you know. That's how these worldly leaders are, you know. They say, we're going to help your blacks out. Come on, we'll help your blacks out. And when it's all over, yeah, we got a little rain, all right. But good God Almighty, where's the chicken house? Where's the chicken coop? Sometimes a tornado come down and take the cow. The cow went up in the tornado. Dropped her out somewhere. We don't know where our cow is. Said, what happened to our cow? Did we be sorry we even followed that person? Praise be to Allah. Dear beloved Muslims, let us rejoice, because we have the best. We have the best. The best in the form of religion, and the best in the form of people. The Muslims that believe in this religion, they are the best people. Allah says, you are the best raised up for the benefit of humanity. You are the best. That's what Allah says in the Quran. So let us understand that and appreciate it. And don't go selling yourself cheap, listening and looking to other sources for guidance. Shouldn't do that. You're wasting your time. Muslims who go shopping for ideas to guide his life is wasting his time. As a businessman, now look what the economist said. Here's what an economist told me recently. This is a qualified, recognized, international economist. We were having a little conversation. And he told me, I was in prison. I said, I had a lot of time on my hands. And the prison government had some government books there on economy. So I read them. I said, I got interested in it. And since then, I've been picking up books occasionally as a hobby, reading books on economics. He said, look, he said, I am a graduate of economics. And I head an institution, international institution. He said, but I do not follow economics that I was taught in school, the economics I was given in college. That's what he told me, that he doesn't follow it. Now, those are the people that's on top. They're the ones on top. They're not even following what they have now insight into what they were given, and they see that even that can mess them up if they follow that blindly. But the little people, they go to college, they don't get that knowledge. And they just come here with laws. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, you want me to handle this for you, Brother Imam? I got my degree in economics. And he come here with all the books. And he's just a mechanical tool of the book. Yeah, well, here it says right here on page 35. Paragraph 68. You know, if it's paragraph 68 on one page, it must be just one line statements, right? nothing but a law. Nothing but a cut and dry law. And he gonna come here and apply all these cut and dry laws to your situation. And you wonder how come you can't make progress. Because those people haven't been given insight. They have been given nothing but the materials of the colleges and universities. But understanding, insight, to know how to apply it to human situations and human problems, no. Average one, they don't know. And in this country, it looks like even the top ones don't know. Or either the top ones won't work for the country, or look at the mess they're making of the country. Yeah. And they don't impress me. I see them on TV discussing. They don't impress me. Problem. I see these people are just fumbling in the dark. Isn't that how they appear to you? Like people fumbling in the dark. It's pitiful. And you're going to come here and say you believe in Allah and believe in the Quran and believe in Prophet Muhammad and accept this Ummah of Al-Islam and accept the Imam here in Chicago, and then you go and shop for ideas? You shopping for ideas to see how you're going to work out your life. You're crazy. You put everything they give you under the spotlight, like under the glass of Quranic teachings. Search it out good with the light of the Quran and measure all these so-called leaders of the world in the light of what Prophet Muhammad is. That's how we decide where they stand, what their worth is. Measure them in the light of what Prophet Muhammad is, and that will tell us how high they stand and what their worth is to us. Then if they don't come like he come, they don't have any worth to us.
Praise be to Allah. We thank Allah for his guidance, and we pray that he increase our hearts in faith, protect our hearts from bad inclinations, temptations to go wrong. Make our hearts sound for his pleasure. Direct our feet in the path that is straight, Sirat al-Mustaqim, the path of al-Islam. We pray that Allah help us to establish our life, the Muslim life. That's the big job. Pray Allah help us to establish the Muslim life for ourselves, for our families, for our community. And it's impossible to do that working so far apart from each other. To do that, we have to come together. We have to come together. I pray Allah that soon we'll come into an agreement with each other. I'm talking about the good ones among us. We don't need the bad ones. Pray Allah soon the good ones among us will come together and vow support to each other. But brother, your circumstances shall be my concern. And the brother says to his brother, and your circumstances shall be my concern. In your absence, Allahu Akbar. In your absence, I'm going to look out after your children and your family. And the brother says, and in your absence, you can count on me to look out after your children and your family. This is what we need. We live in a hell of a world. And another thing, we need to protect our investments. Use the community. The community is the means for the life of the Muslim. Allah, obedience to him, following the Prophet, it must be carried out in the community. You don't practice that in the sky somewhere. That's a community idea, and it's a community reality. It has to be realized in the community. Look how many of us lose our cars back to the people that beat us out of our money when we bought it. We paid too much for it. Look how many of us lose our cars back to those people. Look how many of us lose even furniture, nice furniture. Because we're in a terrible strain financially, they come back and get our furniture. Some of us lose our homes. If you become a Muslim community, then you want for your community. You then see yourself in your community. You see the future for yourself in your community. And you're not jealous of your community. You don't feel bad if your community grows and you don't grow. No, because when your community grows, you are growing. Yes. What do I mean by that? We all are going to be victims of these misfortunes. Yes. Why lose to the people who are robbing us on our side? If we got something we're going to lose, why don't we come together and say, look, can the community purchase this? Can the community purchase this mortgage before I lose it to the outsiders? Yeah. You're going to lose it anyway. And you lose it to the outsider. That's what they want. They have a system plan.
so that the poor people lose what they get to the robbers. We should come up with this idea and accept it. You have a piece of property you're about to lose? Say, look, rather than go take a mortgage out on this and take a chance on losing it to these stick-up people, you take the mortgage. But don't be like one fellow was who came to me and he wanted a lot of money. I say, well, you have any property? You have any collateral? He said, no. Now, I said, what about someone? I knew something. I said, what about so-and-so? What about this? What about that? Well, that has mortgage on it already. What about you? Couldn't come up with anything. Well, when it comes to the outsider who doesn't care a thing about him or his religion or nothing, all he sees is an opportunity to get richer. That's the outsider. That's most of the outsiders. 100% of the outsiders, just about. Okay, all that outsider sees is an opportunity to get rich. Now, he will sign his property. He will sign his wealth over to that outsider. But when it comes to his own brother, who will use his wealth, if he loses it, to help his whole lot, he doesn't want to sign nothing over to his brother. That's why I need that army that I want. I'm going to get it. And we'll drive him away from here. That type, we tell him, hey, where you going? You don't come this way, sucker. You get go find your own people. And if you don't move, put some fire behind it. That's right. Yeah, we got to firm up this community. We have all that we need to have an excellent society, a progressive, strong, and excellent society. The only thing we don't have is strong people. That's the only thing missing. Strong persons. So let us who are strong, and there's a number of us who are strong, I know it, a number of us that are strong, let us come together and let us start it. Yes. I'll tell you how I feel about it. I'll go beyond that and do something that I wouldn't allow you to do. I will put my house right now into a pool, into a collective fund. That my house goes to that fund. Certainly I would. Because I don't know what's going to happen after me. I don't know what's going to happen. So if we find the right people among us to protect our interests, we would be better off having a collective pool, a cooperative thing, where it stands as a, what they call it, I can't think of it right now. Yeah, trust. A trust. A cooperative trust. Where that collect people get together and they form a trust with their collective resources that they want to protect, and they put it in a collective trust. Say, if anything happened to us, this is to always remain for the service of these specific needs. Claremont School, this, that. Certain specific needs. That way, we can rest in our graves. That's right. Believe me, I can't rest in my grave not knowing where this is going to go. Now, that's something that I will let you do now. You know why? I don't have the people to protect it. Still looking for the people to protect it. We're finding a few good ones. They're coming. They're popping up slowly. But right now, we ain't ready to do anything like that. But we are ready to deal with mortgages. We can do that. And believe me, most of you be turned down because you ain't nothing but problems. That's why I say we got to get the few healthy-minded Muslims that want this, and they're intelligent, sensible, disciplined people in their lives. Those are the ones that should get together. We have to get together with those people and then make an agreement, make it legally binding, put our properties on it, that if anything happens, such, this property falls in jeopardy, this property is to be rescued by this account. This account has the authority, attorney, power of attorney, et cetera, to go and take this property and put it into this, for these specific needs. Don't just put it in there for any need, specific needs, and it will be protected. We have an account right now that you all are contributing to, and some time ago I remember telling you that I really felt ashamed for Chicago, where I'm the resident imam here. And Harley, you are highly represented among the donors. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know if you stopped donating to Brother Mustafa over there or not. But I know one thing. You sure getting a lot of responses. Yeah. Yeah. Chicago now is the most represented. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. You're the most represented in the contributions that are coming from around the country and outside the country. Do you know people mailing contributions from off ships? Yeah, coming off ships. Soldiers stationed out on the water, on the high seas. In fact, this is amazing. From prison, from the army, from Muslim and non-Muslim. That's right. See, you'd be surprised. Everybody don't see me the way you do.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Dean Muhammad. Copies of the national broadcast tapes may be obtained through the Clara Muhammad Memorial Educational Foundation. For full information, see their advertisement in the American Muslim Journal newspaper. Your financial support of this program, which is vital to our community, is needed and appreciated. Please send your contributions now to Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. That's Zakat, Z-A-K-A-T. Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. Thank you. Tune in next week at this same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Warif Dean Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission. Thank you for listening. Imam Warif Dean Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
So let us not take on the mind of the devil that he passes out to his subjects in the seas. They care nothing about anything except yourself. The greatest love of all is the love of self. After telling us a couple of generations ago or less that the greatest love of all was the love of Christ. And then so quickly they change and tell us the greatest love of all is the love of self.
Why you want us to become so involved in self now? Is it because our unity will destroy your thing? And you want us to be so wrapped up in ourselves that we can't unite for a purpose? You devil, you. Seek refuge with Allah from the rejected Satan. We have to keep the distinction between Allah and creation. Once we lose that distinction, we have no saving source in our life, no saving power in our life. No, because then you're going to be at the mercy of the criminals. If the criminals can make you lose the idea of God, then they know they got you. Because there is nothing strong enough to save you except Allah. Nothing. You try to come against this wicked world with just your own ability, without faith in Allah, you're finished. In fact, they can do you up so bad, you think they're God. Yeah, so once you don't know the real God, they get a hold of you, you think they're God. You'd be telling the devil, oh God, I didn't mean it. Forgive me. Have mercy, please. You be calling him Lord. Yes. But with Allah, you become a bright star. You become a firm person. You frighten the devil away. He have to attack you from a distance. He doesn't like to come near to you. Yes, your goodness, your dedication to Allah, His purpose, make you so strong that the devil has to stay at a distance. But he try to communicate through one of your weaker friends. Influence them to tear at you a little bit. He's afraid to come near. You know, Allah says in the Quran, say anyone who chooses a religion other than this makes himself silly. And you know, I understand that. And I'm sure many of you do. And what in the world we look like looking for a religion other than this one in the Quran? We look silly. Praise be to Allah, yes. Praise be to Allah. It's so clear. Dear beloved Muslims, Allah have given us the guidance to keep us in the right. Once we get in the wrong, we're in danger. We're in danger. We're subject to be just knocked over by any criminal. And they're coming. Or they're looking. They're looking all the time to see who's open to my attack. They're watching like hawks day and night. Who's open to my attack? Yes. But Allah has given us clear guidance to keep the distinction that will save our lives. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's it. You cannot go wrong with that. Only one God. Who is that God? The God. That's who it is. It's the God. Now, whatever else you're talking about is not. And Muhammad is his messenger. Oh, who is Muhammad? He is a mercy to the world. Rahmatan lil alameen. Mercy to all the world. Why is he a mercy to all the world? Because all the worlds want power. all the world's wants security. And the masses is their headaches. The masses is their headache. Because the masses are not knowing what the bosses know. So they can't help the boss protect his own interests. As Allah says in the Quran, with a what wise man would give his affair to the fool? Yes. So the burden, the masses, the burden of the establishment is the masses. That's the burden of the establishment. The ignorant, they say. And they planned, not just today, they planned thousands of years ago. They've always been planning. A strategy to contain the masses. So the masses don't become a problem, but be accessible, available, usable. And they wear their hair out. They wear their heads bald and gray. Working at this problem of preventing the masses from becoming a crippling burden on society. Joblessness today. Crime today. What do you think these crop problems are? Where are these problems centered? They're centered in the population growth. The fact of it is, you find the problem mushroomed where population has mushroomed, in the center cities, in the big cities. What will solve the problem? Justice, truthfulness, honesty. Accepting authority, no matter how big, how rich, or how important you are, accept authority over you. That's the answer. That's the answer. Now, what are we going to do with these ignorant masses? We can't educate them. They are fit for slavery. Fit for servitude. They are fit for our exploits. They are not equal essence with us. They are the waste of creation. This is the language that the top people use. I'd have read some of it myself in the books by their authors. And God says, here's a sign that is a mercy to all the world. Wasn't this Muhammad one of the ignorant? Wasn't he one of the blind masses? And didn't God, without your help, choose him because of his moral fortitude? Because he was faithful to goodness. Didn't God choose him? And reveal to him knowledge that was greater than what you had? And through him improved not only the situation below, but also the situation on high. Isn't he the mercy to all the world? Praise be to Allah. So let's do away with that lie that the masses is a problem that we just have to live with. No. The masses is a problem that we can solve. But to solve it, we have to be honest, truthful, just, And none of us can make ourselves an absolute authority over anybody. We have to accept the universal order, the overriding design that is constant, that reflects the will of God, and follow His guidance, and worship no Lord but Him. And turn to Him when our affairs need to be settled. Instead of fighting each other and condemning each other and planning how we're going to undermine each other, how we're going to conquer each other, let us go to God and His apostle, as Allah said in the Quran. So, oh, believers, when you are confused in a matter, turn to Allah and His messenger. One Lord, and He has communicated through a common person. One of the Ummiyin, that means one of the common masses. He have communicated through one of the common persons. So what excuse have you? What excuse have you? The most excellent, the most high, the most dignified, the most learned person cannot boast without saying, praise be to God. Because if he would just reflect a little bit, he will see that he did not decide his own fate, his own place in the world. No, indeed. He was helped along. He was equipped and then helped along. And then had to win friends to get more support. Who makes it alone? Nobody. You know, this is what we need in this world. Who makes it alone? Nobody. Nobody. I've heard people boast, I'm a self-made man. That's what Iblis said too. Yes, I'm a self-made man. I made myself. You know, people say that. You hear it all the time. I know nothing. I owe nothing to anybody. I don't owe anybody anything. I had to get mine the hard way. What do you mean? You had to get yours the hard way. You got it, didn't you? Well, it wasn't too hard, because there are some people who can stop you. But you got it. So let's not think that we have done it by ourselves, that we owe no gratitude. You owe gratitude to Allah, and you owe gratitude to everybody, to everything that have assisted you in some way. Your gratitude. And ultimately, that gratitude is to God, because He made it all possible. Praise be to Allah. Oh, dear beloved Muslims, this is how we should think. This saves us. And what is this but reflection? That's all it is. That's all it is. The only thing that we're talking about so far is just need to reflect. The need to not be unmindful, forgetful of what have occurred to make whatever is possible, possible. To make whatever is happening, possible. Let's not forget. Reflect. And God says, and reflecting remembrance is a useful power. Yes. He says it benefits you to reflect. That's what God says in the Quran. And He also says, and surely the greatest power is the remembrance of God. Now, you know, we get weak, don't we? Such circumstances sometimes just throw us for a loop. We don't know where to find direction. Now, if you're a Muslim, recall what God says. He said, remembering him, recalling him, is the greatest power. So don't go to Sally or Jane or whoever. I just said Sally. You know, could be anybody. It could be Joe, too. Or John or Jake, anybody. Don't go to them. No. First go to Allah. They're not the greatest power. Oh, I'm going to call up Jane. Isn't that what we do when we get in trouble? Oh, I'm lonely. I feel like the Dickens. I'm going to call up Dickens. That's who we end up calling. Yes. As Muslims, let us recall that Allah says, remembering him is the greatest power. And in this silly kind of environment we live in now as families, the first notion, the first move or impulse is to go outside of the house for help. Isn't it? Go outside for help. All of those family members that know you better than anybody else, all around you, but something has happened in the family circle to destroy the need for each other. Nobody feel they need each other in the family. All the members of the family feel that other members in the family are nothing but a burden. They are depressed when they are around each other. So the first time they feel a little pinch of trouble or pressure, the tendency is to go to the phone and call an outsider. Or to get your hat and coat and go see someone outside. If we would call that van in the house in the morning, Fajr prayer time, Isha prayer time, if the first thing we heard in the morning in our house was the adhan, the last thing we heard at night at bedtime before we went to bed was adhan. Don't you know Allah would bless those homes? It would sensitize the members of those families for family life so that they find strength and supports at home? Yes, he would. Praise be to Allah. So, dear beloved Muslims, let us remember the guidance of God and remember that he is the friend. He is the friend. He is not only a friend, he is the friend that can answer any need in you. He is the friend that can deal with any foe or adversary. And isn't that the need? You know? No matter how strong we are, a situation will develop one day. And we just wish we had a powerful buddy. Now, Allah is that powerful friend. He says he is the protecting friend for the believers. Praise be to Allah. He is the protecting friend for the believers. That's salvation. Oh, yes. To believe in Allah with your whole heart is salvation. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no deity except one. Allah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That clears the head. That clears the head. Now, don't come telling me that incarnate is something, that he's divine and something, that he's God too, and I should pray to him. No. Please don't do that. Leave my head clear. Leave it like it is. It's clear. It's nice. It feels good now. That has presented God to me as my heart understands. So let me leave me with that. And please don't make some of these things that I can attack my God. I can't attack Allah. No way. But if you tell me any human being or anything fashioned on this earth in the creation is God, I can attack it. Because I'm creation too. Yes. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's the saving power. That's the saving power. That's all we need. Because after all, what man wants? Man want to know what explains this universe.
Right. Yes,
what explains it is Creator.
Yes, right.
That's what explains it. Without the belief in a Creator for it, a planner behind it, it's nothing but confusion. That's all it is. So, that's what man wants. He wants first to know what explains this complex universe. The next thing he wants to know, why am I here? The answer to man's big question, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And Muhammad is man's purpose. That's why God completed his favor on him and on us through him, to show us through him man's purpose. And Allah says, whoever hold on to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, he has salvation. Though he fall to the depths, the hellfire, depths of the pit, if he hold to that, it'll one day bring him up. Yes. And I know people, they fall victim to the forces of evil in the world. But they don't give up faith in God. And believe me, as long as they hold on to that, they will return. Oh, yes, they will return. I guess that's what it means by the key to hell and death. Yes, that's the key to hell and death. You want to know how to overcome hell and death? That's it. Hold on to one Allah. Don't corrupt the idea and make something that's not Allah, Allah. Hold on to the one Allah that the human soul, the human heart knows. And then follow the natural person. Don't follow the one that tell you fairy tales. The witch doctor that come with a lot of tricks and magic. The one that walks in, up on the pulpit with a garment of feathers or cobwebs. Don't follow those people that mystify you and lead you to nowhere. Follow the natural man who lived his purpose in the world and fought Satan and his forces with the power of God and was victorious. Praise be to Allah. You know, if I was down and somebody would just tell me a little of these things, pick me right up. Yes, this is the medicine. The healing medicine. It would pick me right up. So why do any of us need to go and pay $50 and lay on the couch? I don't know. I don't know why any Muslim has to do that.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad. Copies of the national broadcast tapes may be obtained through the Clara Muhammad Memorial Educational Foundation. For full information, see their advertisement in the American Muslim Journal newspaper.
Your financial support of this program, which is vital to our community, is needed and appreciated. Please send your contributions now to Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. That's Zakat, Z-A-K-A-T, Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. Thank you. Tune in next week at this same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Watif Dean Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission. Thank you for listening.